You know what, let's just have a quick word of prayer. Holy Spirit, we just thank you so much for everything that's happened today and for this church, God, and for bringing us here today. And, you know, as we look back to where your beginning was at your birth, we just thank you so much for everything that you've done in our lives. And, Daddy, would you just come alive in the scriptures for each one of us today and help us to see what an amazing gift you were. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so where I'm going to start is kind of where Steve left off a couple of weeks ago in Luke 2. And we're going to look at the Christmas story again, and we're going to primarily look at verses 9 to 14. So again, we're at Luke 2, verses 9 to 14, page 90 of your Bible, if you have a New American Standard, just to help you get there a little quicker. But it starts off, we're going to start here in verse 9. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were terribly frightened, talking about the shepherds here. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all people. For today, in the city of David, there is born to you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there appeared with the angels a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom his favor rests," or with whom his favor is pleased. And you know, right from the very beginning, the first thing that said is glory to God in the highest. And you know, as a church, that's one thing that we're after, is we're after the glory of God to be revealed among men. And when the angels appeared, that was the glory of God coming to the men. But the angels weren't the glory. The angels were the ones saying glory to God in the highest. They were giving glory to God. And that was kind of like the basis of Christ's birth, is that was kind of like, you know, phase one of him coming. And Jesus' birth had been prophesied about for, I think it's like 700 years, when in Isaiah 9, verse 6 to 7, I'll just flip over there real quick. And in Isaiah 9, 6 to 7, Isaiah was prophesying, and he said, "For a child will be born to us, a son will be given, and the government will rest on his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, and Prince of Peace." And you know, peace just came up in Luke as well, when the angels were saying, you know, "And peace among men to whom his favor rests." And this peace is what I'm going to kind of talk about a little bit today, because in the hubbub of Christmas, sometimes we can lose that peace a little bit, right? We get a little bit busy shopping. Oh my gosh, if you were at Yorkdale yesterday, let me tell you, there is no peace going on at Yorkdale Shopping Mall the week before Christmas. And I just really felt the Lord saying that, you know, this is my peace. You know, when he's saying that his son is the Prince of Peace. And what does a prince do? A prince is often an ambassador that gets to go to all of the parties to represent the king that the king doesn't get to go to. And when we think of it, that's almost like what earth was. When God was in heaven, he sent his only son. He sent his son Jesus to earth, to the lowliest of beginnings. And he was saying, "This is me sending my peace. I am sending Jesus, who is going to bring my peace. He is going to be the Prince of Peace." And how many of you know we live in a world that needs peace? You know, we can see even from the family story today how much we need peace in our world, how much we need peace around the world. And I can't even begin to imagine what my world, what Sam Duncombe's world would look like without the peace of God. You know, there's so much turmoil to turn to. There's so much that seems to not go right in the world. There's so much stress, but we can just rest in his peace, because he is the Prince of Peace. And last week, Darren was talking about John 6:20. Remember how he was up here with like the wind and the waves, and he was making the boat, and you know, there was a storm, and Jesus walked out on the water, and he said, "Do not be afraid." And when I look at the Old Testament before Jesus came, so many times people were afraid of so many situations. And as I was meditating and being like, you know, "God, what do you want to say?" He's like, "I'm saying that I am peace. I am saying, do not be afraid." And all throughout the scriptures, these are the things that Jesus is instilling in us, is that, you know, even though he came in a manger. You know, Mary and Joseph couldn't even give the innkeeper enough money to stay in the janitor's closet, right? Because if they had any money, like if Linda and I went someplace and they were like, oh, you can sleep in our parking garage, I'd be like, hey, it's cold outside. Is there any way that we can sleep in, like, you know, the office? There's got to be a couch in the office. Or can we sleep in the lobby? Or you'd be trying to do something, right? Especially if your wife is about to have a baby. But the fact that they went to kind of the low, or not kind of, but they went to the lowest place that they could go. And yet from that lowly beginning, there was peace. You know, peace on earth and mercy mild. We sing it every Christmas. But do we really think of the source of that peace? And then as Jesus grew up, he continued to be the ambassador and the Prince of Peace, because we think everywhere Jesus went, peace followed. Right? In a world of chaos, a blind man running up to him, all kind of crazy, and people were saying like, oh, go sit down. Jesus doesn't have time for you, because he was making a ruckus, right? They were like, oh, Jesus, you know, they were trying to push the chaos aside. And Jesus would say, bring him to me, bring him to me. And, you know, I had to think, why would a blind man be so adamant about seeing Jesus? Because it's easy to think, oh, well, because he wanted his sight, right? But oftentimes people in Israel or people in olden times, when they weren't complete, they were cast off. I've been reading Leviticus, and it talks about how, like, if you're maimed, you can live outside the city, right? Or if you're broken, you can live outside the city. If you're blind, you can live outside the city and you can beg. And so, you know, when somebody was coming up to Jesus for healing, it was because they were an outcast. It was because they couldn't work. It was because they couldn't see. And these were the people that Jesus said, bring them to me. And he would put the kingdom of God in them. He would call heaven to earth. And he would heal them, and he would bring peace. You know, how many of you know that when you have a job, when you can see, and when you can provide for your family, you have a lot more peace than when you can't? You know, doesn't that make sense? And I was just, you know, there were just all these little things that God's giving to me about peace. And one of the ones, the big ones that I went to, was even what Steve was sharing about how Jesus' name was Emmanuel. God with us. And it's in, let's see if my trusty flip is in the right place, John 14, verse 26. And, you know, looking at the lifespan of Jesus, how many of you read books and you just want to skip to the end? You know, that's kind of me right now when it comes to a Christmas story. Because I'm like, you know what, God, it was awesome that you came to earth. And it was awesome that you were born in a manger. But oh my gosh, you went to Calvary. You died on the cross for my sin. You were rose again so that I can be in heaven in glory with you. And you've forgiven me of all of my sins. And it's so amazing. And then there's, like, you know, the rest of the story in the middle. And it's like you start at the beginning, but you just want to get to the end. So I'm going to jump to the end a little bit, because that gets me just a little bit excited. So we're here in John 14, 26, and Jesus is talking about sending the Holy Spirit. And he said, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, which will teach you all things and bring you remembrance all that I have said, or all that I have said to you. And then he says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, and do not fear. So you know what that says to me when he says, peace I leave with you. He's talking about leaving the Holy Spirit, who's a helper and a teacher. But how Steve was saying Emmanuel is God with us. He's saying, here's the Holy Spirit. Here's my best friend that I'm sharing with you, that can be with you, that's omnipresent, that's with you all the time. You know, we have Holy Spirit that lives inside of us, that he's with us every step of the way. He's speaking to us, and he's guiding us. And so that Prince of Peace, even though Jesus in the physical form is no longer with us on this earth, Holy Spirit is. And he's with us every step of the way, and he's here to bring that peace to your heart. You know, Linda shared this Friday night at our Come Holy Spirit meeting about how Holy Spirit helped her with her exams. You know, when it's like a tumultuous situation, there's 15 weeks of school to study and you only have like 5 days to do it. There's like 200 pages to read and all this other stuff. You need that peace in your heart. And Holy Spirit is like, how about you study this, 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 and this? And then it's like, okay. And so she studies this, 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 and that. And then she goes to write the exam, and this, 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 and that are the things that are on the exam. You know, that's peace to your heart. And that's just an everyday example showing that the peace of God is with us, Emmanuel, God with us. But this is what the angels were talking about when they said, you know, glory to God in the highest, and peace, goodwill towards men. So even in the very beginning, this peace was what was what God was bringing. And his peace is just the greatest gift that he could have given us. Because while we talk about, you know, while we talk about presents and we talk about giving at Christmas time, we often talk about Christ being the ultimate gift from God, because God gave his son, Jesus. You know, we read in John 3:16 that God so loved the world that he gave his only forgotten son, his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish but have eternal life. You know, he's giving that peace there too. He's saying you can have eternal life through knowing my son, Jesus Christ. He's giving us the way right there by giving us his son. And you know, if we continue along this line, his son is that peace. And so why don't we just all stand together kind of right now, and we're going to pray for that peace. So we're going to do kind of like, we're all standing and we're next to each other. So why don't we get in groups of two or three, and why don't we just share for a moment where we could use some peace in our lives. And let's pray together, you know, let's pray for our friend that peace would come to them in that area. Because when there's two or more gathered together, you know, Jesus is in the midst of them. So let's just take this time and let's do that together. Yeah, so Holy Spirit, right now, as we're just sharing with each other, we just ask that your peace would come to our friend. And whatever they're facing, whether it's school, work, or family, Holy Spirit, would your peace just come and rest in this situation? Yeah, Holy Spirit, just let your peace reign in every part of our lives, Father. Okay, if you haven't prayed for the second person in the group, Father, would you just bring peace to my friend? Yeah, Holy Spirit, would your peace just flood this room? Would it rain down for each person, Father? Would you just come and would you bring your peace? Yeah, in Jesus' name. Yeah, so Father, would the peace of God just rule in each one of our hearts this holiday season, Father? Would you just come and would you overwhelm us with your peace and would you wrap us with your peace in every area, Father? We just open our hearts to be filled and to receive your peace, Father. In Jesus' name. All right, we're going to take 30 more seconds praying for our friends. So if you haven't gotten to everybody, just pray a blessing of peace upon them and then we're going to take our seats again. All right. Amen. Daddy, we just thank you so much for your peace. Come on. Yeah. All right. Let's take our seats. We'll do this one more time. It's okay. We'll still have time to pray for each other. I promise. All right. So that was talking about the peace of God, right? The peace of God can surpass all understanding. And so this is what the angels were talking about, is that he's bringing that peace for each one of us. And then when Steve was sharing from the Christmas story, he was sharing from Matthew 2, and he was sharing about the Magi, about the wise men that came from the east. And I was kind of thinking about that a little bit, and I was wondering if that's a little bit where the sun, moon, and stars kind of aligned, because Steve was talking about like how there were planets and all these different things together, and that's how they found Jesus. And I was like, wow, that's amazing that that's what led them to them. But then the next part in the story, you know, okay, so we see the three wise men, and they're on their camels, and they're coming across the desert. Or at least that's how we did it in my Christmas play when I was six. And so we have like the camels, and they're coming, and they go to Herod, and they don't really know where the baby is because he's not at the palace. And if the king's not at the palace, what do? They go outside, they look around, and they keep following the star. And off they go to Bethlehem. And so, like Steve shared about in Micah 5:2, about how the baby was going to be born in Bethlehem, they kind of may have already had a clue of where to go. Because these are smart guys, they studied the scriptures, and so they'd have known. But then what happens? Herod, who's like the maniac king tax collector guy, Who does he ask for help? And this was just something that kind of spoke to my heart a little bit because I found it amazing. Herod, yes. Herod called the chief priests and said, "Where is this king to be born?" And what did they say? They said Bethlehem in the city of Judea. Right? So they knew it. They knew exactly where it was going to be. But if you look at the rest of the Bible, all of the priests are doing everything that they can to discredit Jesus. So the line that I'm drawing there is, first of all, they're like, oh yeah, he's going to be born in Bethlehem. The scriptures have been saying it for like hundreds of years. If you use Google, you can find out that it was 706 years from the time that Isaiah and Micah prophesied to the time Jesus was born. But they didn't have that back then, so their math might have not been, you know, 0.0134 seconds to find the answer. But I was just like, you know, all these guys that spend this much of the Bible discrediting the king that they'd been talking about for this much of the Bible. You know, the Old Testament is the majority of the Bible. I'm not sure if you realize that, but that was the book that these guys were working with. And they were saying this whole Bible, these whole scriptures that we've been working with are talking about this king, are talking about the Messiah that's going to come. And then when the Magi come and say, hey, where's the king of the Jews? Herod's like, I don't know. But he checks with the priests, and the priests are like, oh yeah, we've been talking about this for years. And yet they don't accept him. Right? And that was the next part that spoke to my heart. Because if you know that the Prince of Peace is coming, you know that the King of Kings is coming, I would just give faith the benefit of the doubt. You know? I'd be like, this is what we've been praying for. This is what we've been hoping for. And here it is right in front of them. And they pretty much put up their nose. You know, they don't accept it. They snuff the Christmas story out right there. For them, that's where Christmas ended. It was like, you know, the wise men and the camels came, and that was all. Because they chose not to believe it. But now that we have the rest of the scriptures, we have an opportunity to choose that in our heart. You know, Sandra shared this morning that if you need a miracle, you know, and we were praying if you need a miracle in your life. And what is a miracle? A miracle is something that you can't handle on your own. A miracle is like a requirement for divine intervention. And, you know, divine intervention comes in the form of divinity, which is Jesus Christ, who is our Savior. And, you know, today I wanted to Google Savior just to see if something cool came up. And so I get out dictionary.com and I type in Savior. And there's two things that come up. One, someone who saves. And I had a moment of stupidity come over me right there. I'm like, I had to look up the dictionary for that? Come on. But the number two was Jesus Christ. It was actually in the dictionary that Jesus Christ is a savior. And I was like, wow, I don't even need to preach anymore. I just need to tell people to go to dictionary.com, look up savior, and they're done. But for me, that's the biggest part of the Christmas message, is that the savior came to earth. You know, it's hard to get out of bed in the morning when you don't have the heater on at night, because it's cold to get out from under those warm covers. And yet Jesus, you know, it says that in heaven there are streets of gold. And if the streets are paved with gold, I can imagine what everything else must look like. Actually, I can't, because I'm not that imaginative when it comes to seeing things. But if the streets are gold that are perfect for rollerblading or biking, I'm all over it. Count me there. And I'm just like, for Jesus to come from that to the manger, you know, that just wrecks my insides every time, because it's such a transformation, you know, and that's a transformation that he did for each one of us. And so today, the second prayer that we're going to pray is just going to be, you know, it's just going to be a prayer of thanks. You know, thank you for coming. Father, thank you so much for what you've done, because you know what, the rest of it, that was the beginning of a new chapter. Right? That was the beginning of a new chapter of civilization, because then a new kind of peace had come to earth. You know, it said, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. And, you know, it says in the scriptures that he works all things together for our good, but it's also that, you know, God appoints leaders over us, and that all of those things are working for his glory. And just to snippet that a little bit, when we look at these prophecies in the Bible, we hear about Isaiah prophesying the coming of Christ. Did you know that there's over 126 prophecies that are fulfilled when Jesus is born? You know, that's a big deal to say that prophecy is real. But when you look at it, it's even the little ones. You know, it's like Jesus is going to come from David, who's going to come from Abraham, who's going to come from this guy, who's going to come from this guy, and who's going to come from this guy. I think there were six that were related just to the genealogy of Jesus, because there were the 13 generations that it talks about in Matthew 1. Did you know that each of those people were a prophetic gift, were a prophetic act? Because, let's just actually look at one of those for a quick second. Let's see, I just randomly picked one. So I picked Matthew 1, verse 8. Asa was the father of Jehoshaphat, Jehoshaphat the father of Joram, and Joram the father of Uzziah. Okay, so there's three generations listed there, right? If the right dad didn't get with the right mom to make the right son, there's no Jesus. Okay? And that happened 13 times, at least 13 times. So when we're looking at this, when we're looking at the prophetic giftings that came true, it's almost like it's a roadmap to say everything in the Bible from Adam to now happened so that Jesus could come to earth. You know, good or bad, however we see it through our eyes, all of those things had to happen for Jesus to come to earth. I look in my own life and I look at the roadmap that I've made kind of across the world and back again. All of those things happened so that I could meet Linda, right? If you look at it that way, all of those things are so that I could meet Linda. And if I didn't meet Linda, I wouldn't be here sharing this with you today, right? And so, I don't know, it was just kind of funny for me to notice that everything we do is a prophetic gifting. Everything we do is linked through the prophecy of somebody. And so the coming of Christ, the coming of the Prince of Peace, is linked through the prophecy of the Old Testament, which for me strings it all together. And then you look from his birth to his resurrection. There's another 400 prophecies fulfilled there that string all of that together. So how much more does it not solidify the fact that the Prince of Peace came for you? You know, that Christmas is actually all about you and your heart. Christmas is all about providing a savior for you. And so that's my Christmas message, is that, you know, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords came to this earth to be a savior for you. He came to bring peace into your heart. And you know what? A lot of times, I know that for some of my cousins, Christmas and Easter are the only times that they go to church. And it's very important that we know a little bit of the history of why Jesus came and what he came for. But Jesus came so that we could be free from our sin. You know, because the Bible says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But when Jesus came to this earth, he made like the bridge. You know, he made a bridge because we've fallen short of the glory of God. But Jesus said, here, let's be friends, and I will take you to the throne room of God. When he died on the cross, he washed away our sins to give us that opportunity to have eternal life with him. And why don't we all stand together today? And some of us have made this decision. I know that many of us have made this decision before, but I know that some of us may not have. And if you haven't, could you just take the hand of the person next to you? This is an opportunity to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. This is an opportunity to have that peace, you know, that Emmanuel peace, that God with us peace, come into your heart and be with us every day. You know, with where we're at, we can see how we need that peace. If your heart's fluttering a little bit, being like, yeah, I need that peace, this is an opportunity to receive Jesus. So we're going to say this prayer together. Jesus, I thank you so much for coming as a baby. I thank you for everything that had to happen on earth for you to be able to come and be my Savior. And I acknowledge that I need a Savior because I have sinned and I have fallen short of the glory of God. But when you came, you made a way for my sins to be washed away. And I thank you for that. And right now, Jesus, I declare that you are that way. You are the way for me to get to the Father. And I believe that you died on the cross and that you rose again and that you are coming back for me. Yeah, that you are coming back for me. Yeah, so Father, we just thank you so much for the opportunity to have you with us each and every day, for the opportunity to have you in our hearts. And Father, we just thank you that you came, that you rose, and that you are coming back again. And that is what the Christmas story is all about, is that you came to save us from our sin when we could not save ourselves. And so, Father, we just thank you so much for that. In Jesus' name, amen.